What's going on, guys? It's your boy DJ Scanless here, and we're back with another wrestling episode on my podcast, as well as Scanless Talk on YouTube. And if you guys aren't familiar with my wrestling podcast or my movie podcast or Tupac podcast, you can check it out on anchor.fm/scanlesstalk, as well as Radio Public, Spotify under Scanless Talk, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. Also, guys, I am going to take my wrestling episodes and also put it on a separate podcast. I think the name is going to be like Wrestling Madness or Underground Pro Wrestling or something. I haven't decided yet, but I do have the podcast name Wrestling Madness on Podbean as well as Anchor.fm. And you can go there as anchor.fm/wrestling-madness. And that's going to have all my podcasts on there of just wrestling instead of having all my hip-hop talk and Tupac talk and movie talk on there as well. Anyways, guys, for my format for this wrestling thing, I'm just going to talk about some key storylines and key updates on things that I personally like and that I want to share my opinion on, rather than breaking down every single show of Raw, SmackDown, and then NXT and AEW. If you guys want like breakdowns of each match and each storyline, you should go to Cage Side Seats or What Culture Wrestling or Wrestle Talk for those type of podcasts and videos. Anyways, guys, this audio podcast is sponsored by the Ringside Roster and is actually a website and Facebook group that I am partnered with. You can check them out on Facebook under the Ringside Roster, or you can go to their website at theringsideroster.com. All right, guys, now let's get into a couple articles I found online. Now, before we talk about the Kevin Owens situation that happened on SmackDown last night, I'm going to break down some key events here. So recently, they brought back the King of the Ring tournament, and it's been virtually gone for a couple years, and the last really good king I remember was King Sheamus, and that really fit the bill because he had the whole Irish heritage and everything, and I think that was probably like 9 or 8 years ago, and I think the gimmick really worked well with him because he has an Irish heritage, and his gimmick was virtually like the last king of Ireland, which was kind of cool. I don't think that really the king gimmick works for everybody, but for me, the key wrestlers that they had in the qualifier matches, they already lost already. I would have had Drew McIntyre or Cesaro be the king because Cesaro can get a big push if he actually became a king and a heel again. He constantly gets over and over with the fans organically in every single gimmick, whether with Sheamus or with Jack Swagger, We the People. He got over constantly all the time, but Vince and Kevin Dunn, the writers, keep burying him time and time again. But I really thought like someone like Cesaro could really benefit for the King of Ring. And plus he has that Switzerland type heritage there, and I think it would have worked really well as like a King of Switzerland and stuff, but they totally got rid of him. The other guy I could see as a king is Drew McIntyre, and he has been red hot lately, but they haven't really capitalized on his whole push. You know, they constantly fed him to Roman Reigns. They had him in the angle with Shane stealing all the spotlight, but they didn't really capitalize on anything with him. I feel like if they give him the king gimmick, where he's like the last king of Scotland, Braveheart type, you know, theme, it would have worked really well. But again, they got rid of him. And I was really surprised when they started making Ricochet and Baron Corbin win, and also Chad Gable. But we'll get into that later after I talk about this right here. So as PW Insider reports that Kevin Owens was fired by Shane McMahon on last night's episode of SmackDown Live. Now, if you didn't know Shane McMahon, he's been doing this whole angle with Kevin Owens where he's basically the person in charge of SmackDown, and he's kind of bullying Kevin Owens because he wants to be the self-proclaimed best in the world. And recently, Kevin Owens was in a match and Elias, which is Shane McMahon's stooge, was the referee, and Kevin Owens actually put his hands on him because he wasn't calling the match down the middle. So in the storyline, Shane gave a fine to Kevin Owens for putting his hand on the referee. And that's kind of like the NBA as well as the NFL, because if you touch a referee in those sports, you're going to get a $10,000 fine, $20,000, $30,000. In wrestling, it kind of makes sense, even though you always see referees get bumped outside or hit with a clothesline by accident or drop kicked off the top rope when someone moves out of the way. We see that all the time, and they never really push the narrative of the wrestlers being fined until it's very convenient in the storyline. Shane, he fined Kevin Owens $100,000, and ever since then, Kevin Owens has been like an ass kisser, trying to tell him sorry that I need the money for my family, and Shane has been promising to like get rid of the fine, but then he's always finding a way out of it. So back to the article, it says that he was fired on an episode of SmackDown Live. The fans in Madison Square Garden began to chant AEW since the firing was, of course, a storyline. Don't expect Kevin Owens to appear on TNT anytime soon. So Shane had a match against Chad Gable to advance in the King of Ring tournament. He put Kevin Owens as the referee. And Kevin Owens, like the whole time, he was trying to give Shane the advantage so Shane would not fire him or tack on a fine. But what ended up happening is Chad Gable got a quick pin on Shane McMahon. Then Shane McMahon said it's going to be 2 out of 3 falls. And then every time that Chad Gable had Shane pinned, he would do a slow count. So obviously Shane would have enough time to kick out. So eventually Chad Gable put a submission on Shane McMahon. And that's actually how the match ended, because Shane tapped out and the bell keeper rang the bell really quick, even though Kevin Owens didn't do anything. But then Shane fired Kevin Owens. And really, I think this is just a way for Kevin Owens to go to NXT. And I think it'll do really well for his character. But the next switch up, he was way better in NXT than what he was on the main roster. He had the first month or two great. And then he kind of went downhill after that. They started making him lose after John Cena and everybody. He had that awful Universal title run, which he lost to Goldberg. But then he had that great angle storyline with Chris Jericho, which a lot of people remember both of them by. And probably most of them remember as their best time within the WWE. But since then, he was floundering around until he came back several months ago. And now it seems like they're going to move him to NXT. And I think this is a great move. Also on this website here, we see that the WWE will add episodes of WCW Thunder to the network on Monday as part of the September 19th Classic content drop. The episodes on service are currently up to June 21st, 2000. It's unknown how many episodes will be added, but there are usually about 20 added at a time. Which is really great, because I love going back and watching clips of Nitro and Thunder on YouTube. So being able to watch classic matches with Juventud and Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman and Hogan showing up every now and then, you know, that's going to be really great to see those matches again. I just hope they just don't chop down the episodes. But you never know with them. They like editing things out, especially if Chris Benoit shows up on an episode of Thunder. You know they're going to edit that out. But I think by the time 2000 was, he was already with the WWF at that time. Alright guys, so on Bleacher Report, it just came out that Kurt Angle is going to be working as a producer behind the scenes. This Hall of Famer Kurt Angle reportedly now has a full-time backstage role with the company. The article goes on to say that the 50-year-old wrestler wrestled his final match of his illustrious career at WrestleMania in April. He lost to Baron Corbin, which is a whole nother can of worms, because nobody wanted Kurt Angle to take on Baron Corbin. It felt like the way that Kurt Angle's career should end is with John Cena. And I think that would have been a brilliant angle, but John Cena obviously didn't want to come back and overshadow Kurt Angle, as well as the other matches on the card. But I think that the main reason why he didn't actually have a match on the card was because he was actually filming movies, so he didn't have a lot of time to actually prepare for a match. But then with that, you know, why didn't they go with Shelton Benjamin? Shelton Benjamin has the whole history of Kurt Angle, being with Team Angle, the world's greatest tag team with Charlie Haas. And Kurt Angle was basically like their mentor, and they would go on to win the tag titles while Kurt Angle had the world title. And this was around 15 years ago, 16 years ago. They could have had that in a storyline where you could have had Kurt Angle manage Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, or you could have had Kurt Angle and Shelton Benjamin be a tag team, and you could have him go on like a 4-month run, win the tag titles, and then you could have Shelton Benjamin betray Kurt Angle, and the whole feud be that Shelton Benjamin feels like Kurt Angle held him back from ever being a main eventer, from ever main eventing WrestleMania, from ever winning the world title. And I think that would have been an epic storyline. You would have had Kurt Angle get the last big run with the title belt, the tag titles, and then you had a great feud that had a storyline that went back almost 15 years. Instead of just shuffling in Baron Corbin with no build up, nothing at all. So it's very lackluster on their part to not give him a perfect opponent. But I don't think they were actually prepared for Kurt Angle to retire at that time. Also, the article says that Angle has appeared on program a couple times since then as a victim of attacks by Lars Sullivan and Bray Wyatt. There's also some thought that he could appear on Monday Night Raw since Chad Gable is facing Corbin in the King of the Ring finals. Angle is Gable's hero, and Angle has been tweeting messages regarding Gable as late. If Gable can pull off the upset against Corbin, perhaps Angle will show up and pass the torch to Gable and serenade him as the WWE's newest King of the Ring. Which again, I don't think it works for Gable because he is a babyface. But I think they have to go with Baron Corbin here, and it makes sense because Baron Corbin is the ultimate heel kind of on Raw. And that's really the case with most King of the Ring winners that become the King, is they're usually a heel. So it would work better with Baron Corbin. A lot of people feel that his gimmick is stale and they prefer the Lone Wolf gimmick that he had a couple years ago. But ever since then, he became Corporate Corbin, like a Corporate Kane knockoff. And he hasn't really changed his gimmick much since then, even though he doesn't have any authority, power, and any type of storyline anymore on Raw. So he's still dressing up like he's a commissioner of Raw, even though he's not anymore. But I think they could do it with Chad Gable if they turn Chad Gable heel. Say Chad Gable wins it. You can have Chad Gable basically squash Corbin. And then Kurt Angle comes out, celebrates, and you can have Chad Gable hit the angle slam on Kurt Angle and put him in the ankle lock and turn heel. And I think that would be really amazing if they do that, because Chad Gable is amazing. And I'm still pissed off that they broke up American Alpha way too early, because I feel like that tag team could have been a tag team that should have been around for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, like Harlem Heat, like the New Age Outlaws, and all those great classic tag teams. But ever since then, they haven't really done much with Chad Gable. So it's actually surprising that they're actually giving him a solo push finally. Also, further down here, it's back to what I was saying, that there's speculation on Kevin Owens going to NXT. So after Shane McMahon fired Kevin Owens in storyline, Kevin Owens tweeted 14-24-20. But further on here, it says that led to plenty of theories and speculation. But the one thing that seems to make the most sense is the notion that Kevin Owens was spelling out NXT. Since N is the 14th letter in the alphabet, X is the 24th, and T is the 20th. The time is perfect with NXT set to debut a 2-hour show on USA Network next week. Plus, it can be explained that the Triple H-led brand of NXT is a separate show than Raw SmackDown. Alright guys, so the next topic was what I was referring to earlier, that Raw SmackDown is actually going to have a draft. Now, we're not too sure if NXT is going to be a part of this, but I'll give you some ways that they could be. So it says on here from WhatCulture.com is WWE are set to shake up their Raw and SmackDown rosters up with new talent drafts kicking off October 11th episode of SmackDown held in Las Vegas, Nevada. Then concluding on the October 14th Raw in Denver, Colorado with a company looking to solidify both brands as their Fox TV deal kicks in. So moving on, it says, per Dave Meltzer, write up Fox and WWE will attempt to frame it like a legitimate sports draft, a la the major professional American leagues, and hope that having it start on SmackDown will help the Blue Brand shed its long-held B-show image. And this is the problem they had with SmackDown. They did the whole draft back in 2016, and they haven't done a draft since. But then every year, all they do is raid talent from SmackDown. They keep taking all the best talent, or the key ones, and putting it on Raw. So SmackDown has always been viewed like a B-show. But when they came out with the draft in 2016, and they had AJ Styles and stuff like that on SmackDown, and The Miz and Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose, it seemed really great, and you're getting more people that were not getting a lot of TV time. They were actually getting a chance and getting titles, and it gave people a choice between Raw and SmackDown. But eventually they kept doing a shakeup and then moving people from Raw over to SmackDown that the fans didn't really care for, and just messed everything up. And now they have the wildcard rule where everyone shows up on each brand, so you're not really giving anyone a choice. So I'm kind of glad that they're going back to a live draft, and I would really hope that they take it professionally and they actually have set up like the NFL. And I think there's a couple ways you can do this. I think if you have NXT part of it, I would give NXT the first pick. And the reason I would have NXT get the first pick, because you can have NXT pick every round, or you can have them pick maybe every 3 or 4 rounds, while Raw and SmackDown get a pick every round. So if I was going to do it, I would have NXT get the first pick. So I have Triple H select Finn Balor as his key guy. And the reason why Triple H is not going to select anyone with titles is because he's actually going to play a storyline here where he's going to actually defend his NXT roster by selecting most of his NXT roster, other than a key few wrestlers that he would select from Raw and SmackDown to now move over to NXT on USA. So I would have Triple H select Finn Balor, and then I'll have Eric Bischoff get the second pick, and he will select Brock Lesnar. And this will leave Paul Heyman shocked, because that would have been his pick. So Paul Heyman would respond with taking Seth Rollins because he's the champion. And then you will have Triple H get another pick where maybe he defends and he takes Adam Cole, or he takes Velveteen Dream. So then Raw and SmackDown cannot select them. But if you have Triple H do every 3 round, I would have then you would follow up SmackDown taking Kofi Kingston, because he's also champion on SmackDown. So that makes sense there. But for this draft, I would have some key guys from Raw and SmackDown go to NXT to help build the show. And the guys I would like to see is The Revival, Finn Balor, Cesaro, Authors of Pain, and maybe Sami Zayn. I think that might be a great backup for NXT. I don't think you split up Sasha or Bayley or move Charlotte there. But you could probably move Asuka because they haven't really done much with her. And I think she would do better down there. But you do have to move some key pieces over to NXT so it's taken seriously on the USA Network. Because eventually what's going to happen is some NXT talent's going to migrate to Raw SmackDown anyway. But I hope they explain that with like a rookie draft or something. Kind of like the college draft in the NFL. Alright, so we have another article here with Triple H actually commenting on AEW. So this is a recent interview with Yahoo Sports. And basically it says, after saying that for him, running NXT was about putting on the best show that we possibly can, whether we had competition or not, that the winner of the WWE vs. AEW is the fans, and competition brings out the best in people. Which is very much true. Because what competition is going to do is going to make Vince McMahon make changes if AEW is having better ratings or AEW is getting more publicity due to their content. And we already seen that because ratings had been floundering for a while on Raw and SmackDown. And Vince McMahon actually went out and brought in Paul Heyman to run Raw and Eric Bischoff to run SmackDown. And this probably was because the AEW is around. If AEW wasn't around, they wouldn't have made those drastic moves. They would have just kept it as is. So as a fan, this works out perfectly for us because we want changes. We want to see different people get pushed. We want to see more edgier storylines instead of same PG bullcrap. We all know that Vince McMahon brought in Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff so they wouldn't go to AEW. But it works out better for us anyway. So Triple H went on to say, if you talk about the upstart, what they're going out and saying is that they're the alternative. We were the alternative 5 years ago. We opened the door for being the alternative. We opened the door to show people that it can be done on a bigger level and on a different basis. As far as being the alternative, great. Go put on the best show you can put out, and we'll put out the best one we can put out. So I guess Triple H is kind of saying that NXT has already been the alternative, but it really hasn't because NXT is not going to fight WWE to sign different wrestlers like WCW and the WWF did back in the 90s. You did not see, oh my god, it's Macho Man Randy Savage showing up, it's Lex Luger showing up. You won't have that type of build, you won't have that type of excitement with NXT, especially when it's a minor league. So I can see Triple H's point here, it is kind of like a different product, but I don't think it's a full-blown different alternative because it's not a different company. You're not going to have two collective groups fighting for the same talent or fighting for the same indie talent or talent from New Japan or whatever. So a couple months ago, there was an article about the WWE maneuvering around AEW and basically trying to halt their progress by having NXT on Wednesday, which is the same time that AEW will have their TNT show on Wednesday. But guys, I don't think that's the case because it's always been on Wednesdays on the network. And as for AEW, they didn't have that many days to choose from because TNT already has Tuesdays and Thursdays filled with the NBA. So you can't put AEW with the NBA and play at the same time. And you can't have it on Monday because then it'll go head to head with Monday Night Football and Raw. And you can't have it on Friday because it'll go head to head with SmackDown. So the really only choices they had was Wednesday and Saturday. But if you put one on Wednesday, that opens the door for you to have a Saturday show if you ever want to have like a Thunder or another SmackDown like a B show. So I don't think AEW put that on Wednesday to have a little war with the WWE against NXT. I think it was just their only choice really from TNT. So AEW news from Cage Side Seats, we got an article here saying, look like we will begin Tony Schiavone and JR called matches on TNT. So this is just going to break down the latest edition of The Road to AEW on TNT. And when we scroll down here, it says from the control center, Tony Schiavone reminds us that the first episode from Washington DC on Wednesdays, October 2nd, also has the women's titles match. Further down it says, then Schiavone sits down with Rhodes to talk more about history, expectations, and pressure, wins and losses, his planned pay-per-view world championship match against Chris Jericho, and listening to the fans. Cody asks Tony if he'll be calling matches with Jim Ross when television starts. The veteran voice says that's up to Rhodes since he's the boss. I think that's really great news, guys, because commentary for AEW has been very lackluster, mostly every single one of their pay-per-views. And I think that's mainly because Jim Ross is still getting the hang of things, he's still getting to know who these wrestlers are. It's a big transition coming from Vince McMahon, always in your ear, and being there for 20 plus years. You get time to familiarize yourself with every single wrestler. And now you're just jumping into a new boat here with totally different people other than Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes that you're really familiar with. Jim Ross hasn't been really the lead, and Tony Schiavone has that great 90s wrestling voice. He has that great nostalgia factor for the Nitro fans, for the WCW fans, for the 90s wrestling fans. Like, Tony Schiavone is like the voice of my childhood, and so is Jim Ross, because during the Attitude Era, I would always flip back and forth between, you know, watching DNWO or watching The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it would always be Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, or Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. And really having both on your show is the best of both worlds, because it's like having WCW and the WWF combined back in the 90s. But guys, I hope they have Tony Schiavone at the end of every episode go, "We're running out of time. Find out next week on AEW Dynamite." You know, and they have the wrestlers still fighting in the ring while it fades out. That would be awesome. I used to love that because it was such like a big surprise. It built the excitement and you couldn't wait for next week. Raw and SmackDown don't really do that. And it's kind of amazing that Tony Schiavone is still doing his thing, and he's in his 60s now, and he actually worked with Jim Ross back in the NWA in the 80s, which is amazing, and it still sounds virtually the same. So I can't really wait till I hear him on commentary, which I'm actually surprised because he actually been doing a couple shows with MLW on YouTube. So this other article we have here on Wrestling Inc. is about AEW All Out buys being down from Double or Nothing. So this was their WrestleMania type pay-per-view. But it's not really their WrestleMania type pay-per-view yet because they haven't really went to television yet. Tony Khan has said this is going to be the WrestleMania. And basically, All Out averaged 100,000 buys, but is down 10% from the 111,000 buys that generated by Double or Nothing. And this is somewhat of a big dip, but I would not put too much focus on it because they haven't went to live TV yet until October, as well as you don't really have much storylines you can do from pay-per-view to pay-per-view. They're trying to do the best they can on YouTube, but I think it's going to be a lot easier once you get to live TV. And I think for the most part, not everybody has the Bleacher Report Live app. I didn't really have it because I didn't really need it. So when they started putting it on there, that's when I actually downloaded it. So I can see that not everybody would actually have the app, and more people are getting adjusted to that now. As well as I think that the price of the pay-per-view being $50, $60, that is so 1990s. Like, people could just get WrestleMania, they can get SummerSlam for free half the time for resubscribing to the WWE Network, or they just pay $9.99 a month. So just paying that compared to $50, a lot of people are going to choose the $9.99. And why would, as a kid, would I want to waste $50 when I can go out, buy a new video game, buy Grand Theft Auto, buy Red Dead Redemption 2, Spider-Man, whatever, and I can play that for months, if not years? They have to reduce the price, maybe to $20, $25, or they have to find alternative means of how to stream their pay-per-views. And maybe they can find ways to recoup that loss if they actually lower the price by having a deal with Netflix or Hulu of maybe putting their pay-per-views on there a week later or something like that. I think it would be really great. But maybe that's a way they can make up the earnings, or they can also put the pay-per-view totally on their YouTube a week later and generate all the revenue from AdSense on YouTube. Anyways, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of my wrestling talk here. You can check out all my episodes, hip-hop episodes, Tupac episodes, movie episodes on anchor.fm/scandalous talk, Spotify under Scandalous Talk, and you can also check out just my wrestling ones on Podbean or anchor.fm at wrestling-madness. And I'm going to have the links in the description of my YouTube video. Thanks for listening. Peace out.